If you got your Bible tonight, we're going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. We've got quite a few scriptures, so I don't know how much of this we'll cover tonight. But I want to talk about being led by the Spirit of God. I think that is very, very important in the life of a Christian. I think it's very important in a church. I think it's very important for everybody. Now, it's very important for a preacher. It's very important for a husband. It's very important for a dad. It's very important for an employee or an employer. But I think it's something that maybe sometimes isn't given enough emphasis. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, I want to read the scripture. May read this chapter, but I want you to see what Paul is saying here. Now, he's going to talk about how God led him as a minister, as a preacher, but it's not just for preachers, okay? And I want to read this scripture, and I want us to pay attention to what he's saying and what he's saying about the Spirit, particularly when we get down to about the 10th verse. And he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect," which means mature, "yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Listen to what it starts to say here in the 10th verse. It says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." Now, when you look at your Bible and you see the big S, that's the Spirit of God. There's a verse that talks about the spirit of man, and there are several, but it's going to be a little S. The big S is the Spirit of God. It says, "For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but that which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now, I will tell you, I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to have the mind of Christ. And sometimes in our zeal and in our search and in our desire, we'll begin to be looking for that. And I made this comment before. Sometimes in our looking, we're looking for something new. But I want to give you this thought first. Number one is walk in the light that you already have. You see, sometimes, and I've been guilty of this, I go to the Christian bookstore and I get in there and I get excited. And I see this book and I see that book and I see this and I see that. And I think I told this story once before. The last time I went to a Christian bookstore, I spent $75. I come out of there with a bag of stuff. And I get home, and you know how many pages I've read? Maybe 25. And God began to speak to me and to show me that a lot of times people are always looking for new light, when in reality, what we really need to do is be faithful and walk in the light that we already have. You see, because the truth is, all of us in the world, the whole world's heard enough gospel that if they would respond to it, act on it, and live by it, it would save the whole world. See, I want to learn new things, and I want God to lead me. And I've heard some of the young people talking about this, about how do you know God's will? Well, one thing that I've learned, if I want God to lead me to know what to do tomorrow, what I have found is I need to do His will today. If you want to know what God's will is for tomorrow or this afternoon, do what God wants you to do, starting with the next 15 minutes. Because if we would walk in the light that we already have, I promise you, I have heard more gospel, more preaching, more truth, if I would take it and apply it to my life, than I could ever absorb. Now I want to flip over to Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. And I want to give you just a few verses. And I want to give you the thought. Now obviously, we believe that this scripture was written by Solomon, you know, the wise man. And a lot to be said about Solomon and, you know, the wisest man. But yet Solomon also was a foolish man. One time I taught a lesson about Solomon, and this was the title of the lesson, The World's Wisest Fool. And you go through the scripture and you study about Solomon, and you see that at the same time he was writing these Proverbs and he was writing this book of Ecclesiastes, he was also marrying false wives from all over the nations and bringing them in and setting up tabernacles and temples to unknown gods. And what should have been a kingdom that was blessed forever, because they walked away from God and they didn't even apply His own wisdom, was torn. Was he wise? Well, sure he was. But was he foolish? Look at what he said, because these are words of understanding. And here's the thing to understand about that. It doesn't matter how much I know if I'm not applying it to my life. That's why it's important to walk in the light that you have. He says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 12. He said, "As in further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh." Now sometimes I think when I'm dealing with my kids about their homework, I think they found this verse. But if you look at that, he's saying, of making, this kind of goes back to what I was saying about I'm not against Christian bookstore. I got a library at home. I got commentaries and I got dictionaries and I got thesaurus. I got all that stuff. And I've read some of it. But what I found that helps me more than anything is this right here. It's listening close to what the Spirit of God says and listening and learning what God's saying and responding to the Spirit of God. Because there was a time when I was really seeking, you know how sometimes preachers do this. I've heard them say, "Oh, I ain't worried about Sunday. I just go on the internet and get something." Yeah. And I look at them and I think, what's that about? You know, one of my favorite preachers is Adrian Rogers, Love Worth Finding. And he had preached a message several years ago, and it was basically the title of the message was Dealing with Unworthy Authorities. And he was talking about the problem, like in America, when you have an authority that is not in the will of God, not walking according to the scripture, how do we deal with that? And I needed that message, so I went online and I looked it up. And while I was there, I began to look at some of the other things that Adrian Rogers had preached. And as I was sitting there looking at the screen and I was going through it and looking at the outlines, the Spirit of God spoke to me. And this is what the Spirit of God said to me. He said, "Is this any better than what I'm giving you?" And you know what I said? I clicked the button to close it and I said, "Yes, Lord." Because I found if I'm going to be anything that's right with God, I've got to listen. And I've got to obey. You see, he's saying here, making many books, there is no end, and much study is the weariness of the bones. But listen to the 13th verse. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And that's kind of that same thing. Walk in the light that you already have. The scripture says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Well, how do you know how to witness? It's very simple. You tell them what you know. Don't worry about what you don't know. Don't worry about having all the answers. Everybody has a testimony. You tell them what God did for you. Now, doesn't mean you shouldn't study. I love apologetics, okay? I've taught series on apologetics. Apologetics is the defense of the Christian faith. And I've seen people get saved under that type of preaching. But the key is this. It's listening. The last verse here in this chapter, chapter 12, verse 14, it says, for God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's why the most important thing you can do in your life is listen to the Spirit of God and do what's right with God. You see, if we're saved by the grace of God, I believe that the Spirit of God will guide us. It'll teach us, and we'll know what we're supposed to do. The problem we have is we're not listening. Okay? So first one is walk in the light that you already have. Number two about being led by the Spirit is try the spirits. Try the spirits. Now here's something to understand. Not everything that you hear is going to be right. It's very important. You know, I got a son that he comes home sometimes and he's so frustrated because, you know, he goes over to a Christian school. And he said, well, everybody don't believe like we do. Do you know that the Baptist church down the street may not believe exactly like we do? And I keep telling him, I said, son, number one, you need to know what you believe and you need to be founded in it. But you need to learn how to work with people that aren't always exactly like you. And a saying that I have as Christians is sometimes you need to learn how to eat the fish and spit out the bones. I mean, if not, you're going to find yourself disagreeing with somebody all the time about something, and it'll affect your fellowship with God. Now, y'all probably agree with a lot of what I say. But y'all probably don't agree with everything I say. And the truth is, I'm not right about everything. Because every person, whether they be a teacher or a preacher, they preach and teach based on two things: their own personal convictions and their own interpretation of the Scripture. And as we grow, one thing I found about myself is as I have grown in my relationship with God over the years, I don't look at everything the same as I did when I was an 18 or 19-year-old preacher. Now, I can go back and tell you that the things that I did when I was 20, I did them honestly. And I did them from a pure heart. But I can tell you that at my age today, I'm different than I was then, and I would handle situations different than I did then. Now, in your relationship with God, I want to give you some scripture in 1 John chapter number 4 about trying the spirits. And I want us to look at something as we get over to the latter part. We're going to read through verse number 6. But it talks about trying the spirits. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit. That's little s. It says, but try the spirits, or whether they are of God. That's to prove them or to test them. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And then it says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. There's another scripture that I preached on one time that said, if any man believe not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. And it gives you those Greek words in the text to give you the full context. It means accursed at the coming of the Lord. Folks, Jesus has no equal. Don't believe this new Chrislam stuff where they're trying to blend Islam and Christianity. It's Jesus, Jesus, and more Jesus. Okay? It says, we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit. Spirit. Now here's something. You hear people talk about the Antichrist? This is talking about the spirit of Antichrist. He said, this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Now what is that spirit? Look at the fourth verse. It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, here's what I depend on in my life, in my Christian life, is the Spirit of God. That's it. It's more important than what I know. It's more important than how much I can study. It's more important than getting, you know, a doctorate degree or a master's degree. And folks, there's nothing wrong with education. But if you go get 2 degrees and you're dead as a doornail, what good does it do? I mean, I've known preachers that have 2 doctorate degrees, and I'm not against that. I'm working on one right now myself. It's real slow, like a snail moving. But I'm doing it, okay? But what's important? It's God. It's learning how to listen to and follow the Spirit of God in your life. Look at the 5th verse. And think about Islam, think about gangs, think about all the false religions of the world as you read these 2 verses. It says, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Well, how do you know? How do you know if something's of God or of error? Here, I'm going to give you some things to think about. And you think about this in relation to all some of the things going on in the world. Number one, when I'm looking at something and I'm trying it, number one, does it line up with Scripture? You know, sometimes, and I've heard pastors talk about this, and I've been through some of this, people come to you, and they say, well, you know, I want you to help me pray about something. And they tell you about something that's going on in their life, and according to Scripture, it's clearly in error. Scripture says it's wrong, and they want you to help them pray about it, because that's, and this is what they say, well, that's just the way that I feel. I just feel like God's leading me in this direction. And I said, well, if it doesn't line up with Scripture, it's not God. Okay, it's got to line up with Scripture. Number two is, does it bring peace? You know, all this stuff that's going on in the world with jihad and all that, Jesus Christ had no place to lay his head. And he came into the world and he preached and he loved people and he showed kindness and he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Does it bring peace? Then here's another one. Does it bring unity or division? You know, when I look at things going on in the church, and I want you to know something, if I could, I'd please everybody. You know, if you wanted a blue chair and this guy wanted a green chair, I'd just give you a blue one and him a green one. I don't care. You know, sometimes people get upset about the color of the carpet. And I don't know sometimes what to do about some of that. Okay, I was one time walking down the hall and I looked in the nursery and they had this wall, it was lavender, and this wall was yellow, and this wall was pink. And somebody had come in and spent their whole weekend and they painted a rabbit and they painted a bird and they had a giraffe and an elephant. And I thought, oh, that looks so good. And I heard 2 deacons over behind me. Now, I'm not against deacons now, Brother Tommy, okay? They just happened to be deacons. But here's what they were saying. They were saying, well, that color's not an approved color. Who approved them drawing those diagrams on the wall? And I'm thinking, what's that all about? Them little 2-year-olds will like it. You know, when we're looking at something, does it bring unity or does it bring division? I don't, you know, I really would like for everybody to be pleased. But sometimes me, as the pastor or as the teacher, it ain't about what I think or what I want. What's best for the house of God. Sometimes even in my home, and I'm still learning this one, what's best for my family? What's best for my wife? What's best for my children? Because if I just please me all the time, I can guarantee you I'm going to get it wrong a good percent. Okay? You try the spirits. Here's one. Will it glorify God? Now think about that. When we're testing, when we're looking, will it glorify God? Got to think about that. I want to give you just a couple of more thoughts tonight. I'm not going to hold you long. But, you know, we need to walk in the light we have. We need to try the spirits. And once we try them, then we need to let the Spirit lead. There's been times in my life that I have had to surrender my will for God's will. Now, that's in a lot of different areas. It's not just in ministry. It could be in relationships. It could be in a situation at work. It could be in something at home. It could be in something that I'm involved in my life. But when God begins to speak to you, if you want God to lead you, it's just like I said, if you want to know God's will tomorrow, walk in His will for the next 15 minutes. When God shows you something, if you want God to lead you in your life, you got to start obeying. And once you start obeying, what God's going to do is He's going to see you as faithful, and He's going to start pouring more and more truth on you, and He's going to start giving you leadership, and He's going to start showing you the way that you could go. And it's just like Brother Keith said here a few minutes ago, they were praying that God would give them something. Do you know that I want God to work in my life that way? I want to see God moved. When I see it, I say, that's God. Yeah. You know, I don't always tell everybody at work about it because they don't appreciate it anyway. They wouldn't understand it, and I've learned that. It's sometimes you get in a zeal that you're going to honor and glorify the Lord, and you say, well, I'm going to do something out loud so everybody can see it. And I've done that a time or two. And I've realized, God didn't tell me to do that. I did it in my zeal. Yeah. Because a lot of times what God does, He does it for you because He loves you and He cares about you. Right. Because you have favor. But when God begins to teach me something, I've learned, start obeying the little things. Just the little things. And when you start obeying in the little things, He'll get to showing you bigger things. And that's what we want God to do. Now, I heard a story, and I'll tell you this and then we'll close, of a young preacher that was saved, called to preach in India. Missionaries went over there, they found him, they saw the power and the hand of God on him. And here's what they got the bright idea. We got to get him back to the United States. And we got to get this boy in seminary. Because God is on him. He's got a promising that he's going to be a preacher. They brought him back. And they put him in school. He's in seminary. But he's not happy. And this is what he tells them. He said, all the things that you're trying to teach me, God has already taught me in my chair. And they begin to listen. They talk to him more. Obviously, when you're communicating with someone from India, especially if they don't know English long, it's communication. And they begin to talk to him. Well, what are you talking about in your chair? And he said, well, I have a chair where I pray. And he said, God has shown me so many things in His Word, a lot of the same things that you're trying to teach me. And they look astonished that he would have this wisdom and understanding. And as they talk to him further, they ask him about bowing in his chair to pray, how he prays. And they said, no, you don't understand. And they eventually, after talking to him, they realized that he would get down his knees. And he started praying in the chair. Then he started praying down at the face of the chair. Then he started praying holding the chair. And he began to tell him about how he would get on his knees and he would hold that straight back chair over his head till he heard from God. Remember the story where Jacob wrestled with the Lord until he said, I'm not going to turn you loose until you bless me. When you get willing to hold on to God until He leads you by His Spirit, He'll lead you. He'll lead you. And when they heard this from this young man, you know, sometimes what we realize is we're the ones that are learning. And he got to go home and minister to his people. If you want to be led by the Spirit, walk with what God's given you. Try it, but be willing to follow. And then the last is be willing to accept what the Spirit of God says. I'm going to tell you, sometimes that's tough. It's tough when God tells you that what you want is not what I want. And I've had that happen to me. And, you know, sometimes it still does. But if I want God to keep teaching me, I've got to follow him. Amen. Man, I hope that was something that had helped you tonight. That's something that was just on my heart.